In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. This show is so exciting for me, period, but especially today, because we have two special guests. One of them is in the studio with us, and one of them is on the phone. I'll start with the one on the phone and just mention that we have Mike Robbins, who used to be a baseball player, professional, and now he's a sought-after speaker and coach, and he's written some exciting books, one of which we're going to talk about today called Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken. I love that title. And his work has appeared on Oprah and Friends and has been featured on ABC News and in Forbes and other magazines. So I can't wait to get into talking to him. And before the interview is through, would like to have him share his tips on how to have a happy holiday season. Now, he's on the phone, and we'll get to him in just a moment, but the special surprise guest to me, is Bella. Now, some of you might know about Bella and know the Bella story, and it's a story that most of you will know soon because I've written a book about Bella. Actually, the book has written itself. It was a story that happened upon to me, or that I manifested it along with Bella. Bella is a beautiful dog who now belongs to a friend of mine who went away on holiday and left her with me. And so she is in the studio with us. And at one point, she used to be with me. I rescued her and had her for several months until we found her a beautiful home. There's an amazing story of learning and growth that Bella and I experienced together. And every time I share that story with people, they say to me, oh, you have to tell so-and-so, or tell it at the next time you speak at such-and-such. And people will come up to me and say, hey, tell my friend the Bella story. So I've finally written it down, and I've actually finished the book. It needs to be rewritten. It's not ready for publishing yet, but this is the very first time that Bella has actually been in the studio while we've actually done a show. And of course, since the book has been written about her, so it's kind of interesting. I just know she's going to be a big celebrity someday, even if she's really little. And it's exciting to have her around, so that makes the show even more exciting for me. Speaking of all the wonderful things that we're going to talk about with Mike Robbins, our guest today, I had an interesting thing happen on Facebook. Now, I have a feeling we're going to talk a lot about Facebook, and it's an interesting study and experiment and experience, actually, to have Facebook in our lives. Not long ago, there wasn't a Facebook, and that might be bizarre to a lot of young people that have grown up using it already and have become so accustomed to it in the few short years that it's been around. Has it even been more than a year? And before that, there wasn't even email, or email wasn't along for that long. Now, of course, I worked for IBM, and IBM had email long before anybody else did. So I was used to using it as soon as I joined the IBM workforce. But nobody else knew what I was talking about when I would talk to the outside world. So the means of communication have really increased. The possibilities have increased. The closeness has increased, or the ability for us to be close, if you could call conversing via the internet close. But certainly it is bringing people closer together, and we're experiencing a different kind of experience, period, but a closeness, a togetherness, a oneness. So many different things are happening because of this phenomena, and who knows what else is going to happen. But because of all this, something happened today that something I wanted to share real quickly, and that is I was connected actually a couple days ago. It's somebody that I have not thought of, maybe even, or maybe thought, maybe I've thought of him, but the last time I saw him had to have been about 10 years ago, or if not more. And it was in Prague, the country of Prague, actually, that I last saw this person while I was visiting there. And like I said, it's been over 10 years, and I didn't know this person terribly well. But I knew him well enough that we had exchanged enough conversations and enough time together and enough experiences to be able to say we had a sort of a friendship. But the whole point of it is 10 years later, I get this, or so, I get this request on Facebook wanting to be friends. And so when I saw this person on Facebook, I immediately confirmed him and said, great to see you here, great to connect after all these years. And you know, it's easier to do on Facebook, but before then it was email, and you had to have somebody's email address, and if you didn't have their address, there wasn't a way to really find them, like putting their name in on Facebook. So it's understandable that we might not have been in touch in all this time. Whole point of the story is that after I wrote back saying, great to see you on Facebook and to connect here and looking forward to learning more about what's going on in your life, etc., he wrote back, obviously very excited that I had accepted his friendship and evidently didn't make mention of something in particular. And he said, how kind of you to accept my friendship and to respond the way you did after the, I don't remember the exact words, and frankly, I don't want to, after the fit that I had, or the way I treated you, or the things that I said, something like that, the last time we saw each other. And I cannot recall anything that this person said or did that was offensive to me. And I think if it had been that traumatic, I probably would have remembered. But I probably didn't take it the way he thought he either meant it or didn't mean it, but thought it came across. And it's certainly over 10 years, it's not something I recalled. And when I recalled this person in my memory, I thought of him very fondly and was happy to make the connection again. And this was obviously something that had been bothering him for a long time. And when I responded, I don't remember him being any other way less than kind to me and friendly, he then said, ah, your memory is merciful. Wow, what a word. And I think, wow, how many of us are carrying around these burdens, thinking that we have offended people over years and holding this, keeping us maybe from having a friendship or a connection with certain people. And quite possibly we have offended people, but quite possibly those people are not holding that offense against us. And I just wonder what it would be like if we erred on the side of positivity, in the sense that if all this time he had not thought negatively about his reactions and forgiven himself for that, and then possibly brought it up 10 years later saying, oh, by the way, I hope you didn't take offense to, if he had to hold on to that thought, and then I could say, well, I did and I got over it, or not to worry, or no, never thought about it. And that whole 10-year period of time, he could have just relaxed into and forgiven who he was, or who he was at the time, or what he thought he did that was so bad. And I'm thinking, as I'm closing my thoughts here, that a lot of people are saying to me, oh, I can't wait till 2010. Maybe it'll be a better year. I hope it's going to be a better year, or it is going to be a better year. And I'm telling people, hey, we still got plenty of time to make 2009 the best year of our lives. And we could then use this year to catapult 2010 into even a better year instead of just waiting. And besides, it's just a number and there's no such thing as time. So why wait to have the best year of your life? And I'm thinking an easy way to instantly turn 2009 into the best year of our life might be for us to forgive ourselves. Forgive ourselves for everything we thought we did, or everything we did do, or everything we didn't do to or for other people. Now, we might need to reconcile with other people, and that might take some time, and it might require a phone call or a letter or returning money or something or whatever. But we could start with forgiving ourselves, and I have a feeling that will change everything in our lives. And I think for this person that my saying to him that I do not think of him that way probably unleashed a big burden. And I wish for him that he can release this energy, if he has it, on anybody else and just think, everybody out there loves me. And then when he comes across, hopefully, an anomaly of somebody who doesn't or remembers something that he did negatively, that he can then apologize and be conscious of making more elegant choices in the future. So it's interesting to me because that just culminated today. And ironically or not so ironically, our guest's book today is about authenticity. And it's called Be Yourself, Everyone is Already Taken. I can't think of a greater title for this subject matter. And so in bringing in our guest right away, I'd like to say about him a few other words. He's, of course, as I mentioned before, a highly sought-after speaker and coach, and he works with Fortune 500 companies and government agencies, nonprofit organizations, and individuals of all walks of life. He empowers people to be successful and authentic, to create meaningful relationships, and there it is, leading into what I was talking about before, and to appreciate themselves and those around them. How perfect is this? He is the author of the award-winning best-selling book, Focus on the Good Stuff, and a contributing author to Chicken Soup for the Single Parent Soul. Mike and his work have been featured again on ABC News and the Oprah Radio Network, as well as Forbes, Ladies Home Journal, The Washington Post, and many others. His books have been translated into 9 languages, and today we're going to talk about his new book, Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken. Transform your life with the power of authenticity. And with that, I welcome Mike Robbins to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Filippo. Glad to be on.
It's a pleasure. You know, talk about life changes. You went from a pro baseball player to this.
That was a whole other lifetime ago. You know, I grew up playing baseball. I actually got drafted by the Yankees out of high school.
Wow.
Didn't end up signing with the Yankees because I got a scholarship to play baseball at Stanford University, and then got drafted by the Kansas City Royals out of Stanford, signed a pro contract when I was 21. All I ever wanted to do, Filippo, since I was a little boy, was pitch in the major leagues. And, you know, I was pretty good. I was working my way up to the big leagues in the Royals organization, went out to pitch one night, threw one pitch, tore ligaments in my elbow, and blew my arm out.
Ah.
And just like that, at the age of 23, my baseball career was over. So, you know, as you can imagine, at the time I was devastated. It had been the whole focus of my life. And then over the next 2 years, had 3 surgeries, did everything I possibly could to try to come back. Unfortunately, wasn't able to make that happen. But in the process of it, I started to ask myself some really important questions, and one of the questions I asked myself over and over again was, did I have any regrets? And what was interesting is I didn't regret a lot of the stuff I thought I would have, you know, the bad pitches I've thrown, the games I'd blown, all the stuff that seemed like a really big deal at the time. None of that stuff mattered to me anymore. The only regret that I had was I hadn't fully appreciated it while it was happening. I was too busy trying to make it, you know? And when it was all said and done and I hadn't made it to the major leagues and trying to figure out what to do with the rest of my life, I thought to myself, oops, I think I missed the point. So it really started me more specifically on my own sort of personal and spiritual journey, and what I kept coming back to as I then moved on with my life, and I live here in the San Francisco Bay Area, got into the dot-com world back, you know, 10, 12 years ago when that was going on and the big boom was happening, but I wasn't really that passionate about doing that for a living necessarily, but I just kept seeing this theme of gratitude and appreciation, or lack thereof, in my own life and in so many people's lives around me, that really was kind of the launching point for me to dive into the work that I've been doing as a speaker and a coach and now an author for the last 10 years. So my first book, Focus on the Good Stuff, is all about that work that I've done and continue to do on gratitude and appreciation. And this latest book, Be Yourself, Everyone Else Has Already Taken, really kind of expands that into looking at what is it for us to really be our authentic selves in life and ultimately in a genuine way appreciate who we are.
Wow. You know, Mike, before we dig into the book, and I can't wait, have you ever seen on TV or even live a painter that's, while they're painting something, and you look at that and say, what in the heck is he painting? And then at times say, that's actually ugly.
Yes.
And then, you know, and then you see the finished product and you say, wow, who would have known?
Yes.
I'm sure you know what I'm getting at. I mean, do you look at that whole experience with all I wanted to do was be a pitcher in the big leagues and say in the moment you say, wow, what an ugly painting I painted my life into?
Right. Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, my story, the details of it may be different than a lot of people's details, but the theme of that I think everyone can relate to in various ways in life. And so often, you know, I think this year for so many of us individually and collectively, you know, economically and everything else going on, not any doom and gloom, but there's a lot of people I know in my own experience as well, kind of in the soup of it, in the midst of it, in the throes of it at times. And it sometimes is hard to see the forest for the trees and really remember or be in touch with the beautiful perfection, the way that life unfolds. And sometimes it's hard. You know, in hindsight, we can look back. But, you know, there's the idea of, you think of people who've dealt with illness, who've dealt with death, you know, tragic death and loss, or, you know, really difficult circumstances, bankruptcy, job loss, divorce, I mean, the whole nine. And a lot of times, in hindsight, we see, oh, I can see now why that happened. You know, I think of a heartbreak that I had, a relationship that ended a few years before I met my wife that I was just tormented about. Happened right around the same time, actually, my baseball career had come to an end. It was sort of like one and then the other. Are you kidding? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, great.
At the time, it seemed like two of the worst possible things that could have happened.
Right.
My career ended. The woman I was in love with left. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, now it's like, wow, thank you, God. What beautiful blessings. The challenge, I think, for us in life, in so many ways, when those things manifest themselves, is to remember that we are creating our reality. Is that, you know, again, it's hard to really grok that in the midst of something that seems like it's not, quote, supposed to happen. But, yeah, it's like you were saying, the analogy of being in the middle of that painting or in the middle of a project. You know, and if we can actually find a way to appreciate even the infolding times. You know, I'm a person who actually really, as many people do, but I prefer the spring and the summer to the fall and the winter myself. But I was just noticing earlier today, you know, today being the shortest day of the year, wow, you know, I can really appreciate this time of year and the sort of enfolding energy of it. And, you know, it's not my favorite. I'd rather it be May or June right now in terms of what's my favorite, but really to appreciate what happens and then the ebbs and the flows of life, that there's something beautiful and magical in each moment if we choose to look for it and pay attention to it and ultimately appreciate it, which appreciation is fundamentally subjective. There's no inherent beauty or goodness in something except for that which we acknowledge and appreciate. So I could say, boy, you're really a great person. I love being in conversation with you. That's not the truth with a capital T. It's just my experience. If I choose to find that experience in my relationship with you, you were sharing the story earlier about the guy that reconnected with you on Facebook and how he had some story about something that had happened that you were like, well, I don't have that same story, right? What are we paying attention to and what are we hanging on to? That colors our whole experience of life.
And how is it serving us? Absolutely.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, I remember years ago having a mentor talk to me about my life, and he said, so tell me the story of your life. And I, you know, told him whatever I told him. And he said, you know, you realize that story's not true, right? Well, what do you mean, man? I got all offended. Like, yes, it is. It's my life. I've been there. What are you telling me? That's the story, right?
I have the bruises and
exactly.
the wounds to prove it.
He's like, but you get to choose what you focus on and pay attention to, and you can really tell that story any way you want. You know, I heard Marianne Williamson, the great author and spiritual teacher, actually speak just yesterday at a church near us, and she's such a brilliant, beautiful speaker. If anyone listening hasn't had a chance to ever see her speak live, I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that they were interviewing Jack Kerouac about, you know, some of his books and stories, and he was saying things. They were saying, well, all those things true, and did that stuff really happen? And he said, it's true, even if it didn't really happen. And I thought that was such a beautiful, wise statement, if you will, because our memories of things, accurate or inaccurate, we sort of tell certain stories over and over again, and in some cases, while they may have happened, they don't empower or serve us. And it really is about what's the truth of our experience. So, you know, my book on authenticity, I'm not advocating that we walk around lying all the time, although we often do anyway, but really it's like, what stories are we telling ourselves and other people, and as you just said, how are they serving us?
You know, that's interesting, especially since I brought up the analogy of the painting. I was looking for an analogy to carry through what you were just saying that would work for me. And I'm thinking of a painting that starts all in black.
Mm.
And then, you know, it's true that it's now beautiful colors, but somebody could say, yes, but it's all black underneath. And maybe it needed to be all black underneath to cover up what was behind that, or
yes.
or maybe it needed a stronger base, or the material needed to be thicker or something. So you know what I mean? So that
yeah.
blackness, to use that as a negative analogy, needed to happen for some reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think at some level, you know, Carl Jung said, you know, what you resist persists, right? So the more we fight against reality, the more we fight against what's happening in life, the more resistance there is, instead of really just accepting things as they are. And that's how we actually, the paradox is, that's how we start to transform our lives. That's how we transform our relationships. You know, like when my wife and I get into an argument or have a spot where, as we did actually just a couple weeks ago, and it got pretty intense, and whoa, Michelle and I sat down, and really, there's a technique that I talk about in Be Yourself, Everyone Else Has Already Taken, where you clear your withholds. What are you not saying to someone? Even the people you love the most. It's not about dumping on them, but it really is about restoring a sense of love and connection. And that doesn't always happen from us just pretending everything's fine, right? Sometimes some stuff comes up, some blackness, as you were saying, in our lives, in our relationships, and how we can move through it actually in a beautiful, elegant way is being able to acknowledge it and remember that the things we withhold from others, when I withhold from my wife something I don't want to say because, oh, it might hurt her feelings, really, it's I'm scared to say that thing because I don't want to be responsible for what it might do in terms of an impact. But what it's actually doing is getting in the way of all the love and appreciation that I have for her. And so the thing about it is the paradox, you know, I wrote a book called Focus on the Good Stuff, and then I wrote a book called Be Yourself, Everyone Else Has Already Taken, which is all about being authentic. And sometimes what it is to be authentic is to say something or share something or get in touch with something that we might consider to be negative or bad. But it's only negative and debilitating when we avoid it, deny it, pretend it doesn't exist. So it's really about being able to get in touch with all of who we are and how we choose, as you were talking about earlier before you introduced me, choose to stay in the positive in an authentic way. It's not by being happy 24/7 and only using positive affirmations and only seeing the good. Those things start to happen in a more genuine way when we're able to get in touch with what's real and true in the moment and then transform it if it's not the experience we want to have.
You know, that's huge, and let's put it in perspective. You know, not so many years ago, I don't know what you would have done if I had known you when you hurt yourself and you ruined, quote unquote, your career in
right.
baseball, and you lost your girlfriend that you thought you would be spending the rest of your life with and you loved,
sure.
What you would have said to me if I said to you, you know, a few years from now, we're going to be on radio talking about this, and we're going to laugh about it and say, of course it was supposed to be like this.
Yes.
And isn't that great that this is happening? Now, to put it in perspective, there are some people right now listening. It's the holidays, and they've just lost their job. They're not knowing if they're going to be able to afford to stay in their homes or and they don't have any money to buy their children gifts who are expecting Santa Claus to come.
Sure.
And so for us to be sitting here saying to them, isn't this perfect? We're going to talk about this and laugh about it someday. It almost seems, well, it seems offensive.
Yeah.
Insincere.
It can be, and that's the thing. It's, you know, there's a way in which the first thing for us to do with ourselves and with each other is to have a sense of empathy and compassion for where we are in any given moment. Because what can happen is, even in our desire to support and empower people to look on the bright side and see the good and all the stuff that we try, the helpful advice we try to give to other people, sometimes what that doesn't do is acknowledge and really get where the person is. Right? Whenever I'm coaching someone, or whenever someone comes up to me after I speak, or when they're in a workshop with me, the first thing I always try to do is meet people where they are. Now, I can't read people's minds, although I can trust my own intuition and sort of tap into what's my sense. But the thing about it is, ultimately, if someone's really dealing with a very serious, challenging life circumstance, before we can get into any sort of philosophical or ultimately metaphysical conversation of how that got created and how that ultimately can serve their life, their growth, it's first important to be able to acknowledge what's there. And this is where we go into the emotional realm of life. What are the emotions we're experiencing? So the first thing to deal with might be the fear or the sadness or even the anger or the hurt about whatever that is. And as we start to express that, one of the key principles and be yourself, everyone else has already taken, is about expressing yourself. Because the beautiful thing, Filippo, about emotions is emotions are just energy. And ultimately, some emotions have expansive energy, some emotions have constrictive energy, but it's in the expression of the emotion, ultimately, that we liberate ourselves from whatever it is. That's why even a, quote, negative emotion, like sadness, you ever notice when you get sad or experience sadness and then you cry and really let it out, you're liberated. And it's really beautiful, wonderful, connecting kind of emotion. Now, joy as an emotion, you express your joy. What happens, right? It gets out. It expresses. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And then you notice it starts to dissipate as you express it. That's what emotions do, right? We decide, oh, sadness and anger and fear are bad, and joy and happiness and gratitude are good. So, but the reality is it's really about experiencing the depth and the realness of the emotion to liberate us. So when we're dealing with a challenge, the first thing and the first place we can go is let's really deal with the emotions. Now, most of us have a hard time with some of those negative emotions, and we've created strategies in our lives not to deal with them. Some people drink alcohol. Some people work a lot. Some people eat food. Some of us, even in our desire to grow, actually don't deal with them because we get all positive and happy about them. Well, it's really fine that this happened. I'll be okay. Now, if that's true, great. But a lot of times, that's a smokescreen. That's a good-sounding way to just, I'm fine, I'm over it, it's no big deal. Yes, my wife left me yesterday, but I'll be okay next week. It's like, okay, great, wonderful. Is that authentic? Is that real for you? And it could be. I'm not judging it that it's not. But oftentimes, what's the emotion there for us to express? And as we express those emotions authentically, we get support from people around us, we start to move through it. Because we do ultimately, almost always, find our way to that silver lining. And how we get there quicker in life is not to talk ourselves out of it, is actually to express it and deal with it emotionally, move through it. Then we start to really see the brilliance and the beauty and the perfection of it, even when it's painful and challenging.
You know, Mike, it's funny you're reminding me of a friend of mine who used to say to me, oh, he loved getting into arguments or fights with his girlfriend. And I said, really? Explain that one to me. And he'd say, oh, the makeup sex is the best sex we've ever had.
Well, you know, and look, there's something to that. I mean, look, some people are more committed to drama than others, right? But there
right.
is something about that, though, if you think about it. Now, again, you look at your relationships. Now, whether we're talking about, now, sure, there's something exciting and wonderful about makeup sex, but take that even out of the realm of the sexual realm and in our love relationships, I actually think, look, it's not that we want to go around picking fights with people, but one of the biggest inhibitors to our lack of intimacy in our relationships, whether they're business relationships, friendships, family relationships, or even our significant other partner type relationships, is our fear and often inability to engage in conflict. We live in such a conflict-phobic society, especially me and you and out here on the West Coast. You know, we're all, oh, it's fine, everything's cool. Well, you know, that's great. But the reality of life, when we're really in relationship with other people in an authentic way, it's not that we fight and scream and yell all the time necessarily, but stuff comes up. If there's no conflict in the important relationships in our lives, what I always say to people is, listen, if there's no conflict, someone's probably lying or selling out, and probably both of you. Now, again, do we want to live in harmonious, beautiful, wonderful, energetically, you know, satisfying relationships? Absolutely. But conflict, essentially, is really an opportunity for growth, for expansion. So the thing about it is, instead of shying away from the conflict, what if we leaned into it a little more and learned how to have conflict with people in a really conscious way, in a really open-minded, open-hearted way where we learned how to, you know, express ourselves? And this is something, I mean, I get hired by corporations sometimes to come in. I teach classes on conflict resolution. I work with teams that are having a lot of conflict. I mean, and I'll say to them straight up, listen, I love dealing with conflict, especially other people's conflict. My own, not so much. But when it's other people's, it's really easy because I have no emotional charge. You know, if you brought me in to talk to you and a good friend or someone you were in love with or your parents or whoever, I'd be great in that situation. Now, if when it's my own parents or it's my own sisters or my wife or whatever, it's a little bit
then
different.
Then I would be great in that situation.
Exactly. But the point of it is, the thing about it, if we can start to really look at it, is dealing with and working through conflict in relationship. Look, it's like when we break a bone. You know, you break a bone, it's really painful. It takes a while. You have to reset it. It has to heal. But as we learn the physiology of the body, that spot, once it heals and heals properly, is stronger than the rest of the bone. Same is true in a relationship. Not that we want to go around looking to break the relationships up and really screw them up and create lots of drama and wreak havoc all over the place, but if we can work through stuff in our relationships and hang in there with each other, we can get to deeper levels of connection and intimacy and ultimately use it as a way to create better relationships as opposed to, you know, go away from each other. I mean, the holidays are such a great sort of petri dish for this because so much stuff comes up around the holidays, particularly in relationship to our families.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get back together for the holiday. Oh, boy, here we go again, you know? And it's so easy for all that old stuff to come back up. And what's usually right in our face, by the way, more than anything, it's not really Uncle So-and-so that drives us crazy or what our mom says or what our in-laws say or whatever. It's actually our inability to deal with and ultimately resolve conflict in our relationships. And it's right there in our face when we go back home or wherever we end up in those often inauthentic situations where we don't really say what's on our mind. We don't really express ourselves fully until we get in the car to drive home, and then we talk about how we really felt.
that is so interesting. You know, I want to remind our friends and family and fans that life changes, and that I am Filippo Voltaggio as your host, talking to Mike Robbins, author of Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken, a book about authenticity. And you're saying something so important here, and ironically you're relating it with the holidays. You're saying express yourself fully and with confidence, which is one of the key specific principles and practices that you lay out in the book.
Yes.
How does that change everything? It sounds so key.
Yeah, well, it does. Look, and it's something that we continue to practice and continue to deepen our ability to do through the course of our lives. And it's not always the easiest thing to do. I mean, I spend the first third of Be Yourself, Everyone Else Already Taken talking about why I think it can be challenging or difficult for us to be authentic and be ourselves. Not, again, as a way to, like, whine and complain and make excuses, but really to look at, you know, becoming sort of more and more and more of who we are, really stepping into our authentic self. As liberating and empowering as it is, we also have to recognize that our culture, by and large, doesn't really encourage that. You know, we're about to walk right into the holiday season, this last, you know, two weekends of it with Christmas and then New Year's, depending on what you celebrate and what you do. But you know, walking into, if you're going to get together with family, as most of us are to some degree or another, or if you're not, by the way, a lot of times it's like sheer avoidance. You know, my wife and I took our girls to Disneyland actually for Thanksgiving, and we really wanted to go, and the girls love going to Disneyland and the whole bit. But underneath it was sort of this subversive, like, oh, we don't have to deal with the family drama and figure out all the Thanksgiving stuff, so we'll just take ourselves out of the equation, right? Which a lot of people choose to do for better or worse because they don't want to deal with that stuff. And the thing about it is really expressing ourselves fully. Now, it doesn't mean that we walk into, you know, Christmas Eve dinner and get in everybody's face and tell them how we really think and what they should do. You know, there's a distinction, Filippo, between expressing our opinions or self-righteously really sharing all of our opinions with people, which is fine to do if we really want to, but that's not what authenticity is about. Authenticity is really about getting in touch with our truth and being willing to embody that. Whether we share it verbally or not isn't always all that important necessarily. And I'm a big advocate of us really expressing ourselves as fully as we can. But the distinction between an opinion and a truth is this. So take the example of, let's say, we all have lots of opinions about people, particularly people in our family, right? If there's someone in our family that we are upset with or have an issue with, we might have an opinion like, well, you know, they're a jerk, or I don't know, whatever. It's like, I can't really be myself around them, or, you know, I hate how so-and-so is, or they talk too much, or whatever we think, right? And we're entitled to that opinion. It doesn't probably serve us or empower us if it's really critical and negative. But, you know, and maybe we have lots of evidence. You know, our sister really gets on our nerves, and we've had to deal with her, whatever it may be. The deeper truth is, how do we feel? So it may be like, wow, you know, I notice that when I'm around you specifically, I feel uncomfortable. I feel intimidated, or sometimes I feel invalidated, or whatever. We go deeper, and the more specific we can get about it is, and the more honest and the more we can own it from our perspective, how's it impacting us? But what are we making up about that person? I can't really be myself around you. I notice I feel self-conscious. I feel like I'm being criticized for how I parent my children, or whatever it is. You know, fill in the blank. But we start to own it like that. What happens is that's how we can start to transform it ultimately and really stand in our own power. It's not about being right. It's about being real. And Mother Teresa said, honesty and transparency will make you vulnerable. And then she said, be honest and transparent anyway.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, in everything that you're sharing there, there are also assumptions that are being made. So at very least, we are not making assumptions about how we feel around the situation. So that's a start in being honest about it.
Yeah.
And then from there, we can address the assumptions that are being made about the other person, which is really interesting. But you can't get there until you look at where you are. So that's powerful.
Exactly. And the thing is to remember that there's a certain sense of relativeness when we're talking about this. You know, there's facts, right? There's certain facts of life, whatever that may be. You know what I mean? Like, my name is, I was born on this date, you know, my social security number. But in the realm of, like, what's true and what's real, almost everything is relative. It's subjective. You know, I remember certain things, you remember certain things, and what happens is if we can start to own our own subjective, relative experience of life and really own it as ours, that actually frees us up and empowers us to take an honest look at how we see life and realize that it's ever evolving and ever changing instead of projecting it onto other people. You know, most of us, like, look, I come from a family where we speak our opinions like they're facts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not like I think that was a bad movie. Like, that was a bad movie. If you don't like it, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? That was kind of how I was raised. And for many of us, we relate to life that way. You know, you and I are friends. You have opinions about me, or I have opinions about you. We don't really own them as this is just my perspective or my, you know, and even really getting in touch with the words that we use. I'm in a men's group, and one of the things that we do is we start to project our opinions on each other, which we do. Part of what we do to support each other is, my judgment is, we'll say stuff like that, in my judgment, and it might sound like just a semantical thing, but to really own, that's not the truth, man. That's just my judgment of you or of the situation. And when we do that, it actually starts to shift our perspective and how we relate to other people and to ourselves and to life. We're always going to see life through our own lens. That's just how life works. But if we can acknowledge and really own that, it actually can free us up. And the cool part is, you and I and every single person listening, we are masters of changing our perspective and our opinion about people and about situations and things, because we do it all the time. We've been doing it our entire lives.
That's for sure.
Right? You meet someone and you think, oh, boy, he's a jerk. I don't really like him. And then all of a sudden you think, oh, I was wrong. What a great guy. Right. Or you meet somebody and think, boy, you know, she's great. Maybe, like, I think she's wonderful. I fall in love with her. I decide to marry her. And then all of a sudden I decide, well, not so much. Change my mind, right? So we can change our minds dramatically about people. And then we say things like, well, they changed. Well, they're like this. Well, no. Our perspective changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, see, the thing is, another one of my favorite quotes, that in every human being, there's both garbage and gold, and it's up to us to choose what to pay attention to. So the thing, this is one of the most important things that all of us can do, this holiday season and in general, is to make a commitment, a conscious commitment, to look for and find things we appreciate about other people. Now remember, appreciate, look the word up in the dictionary, what does it say? Recognize the value of. It does not say like, agree with, want to hang out with, think is wonderful, you know, do it exactly my way. No. What can I recognize the value of in the people around me? Because we always find what we look for. So if we're committed to finding what's wrong with people, we'll find that. Just like if we're committed to finding what's wrong with ourselves, which a lot of us are, even though we don't say it out loud. We're constantly, like, look at our commitment to attention, if you will. If you just look at the course of this day, what did you pay attention to primarily today about yourself, about other people? Not like a judgment, but just an awareness. And oftentimes, if we're not conscious about it, we're paying attention to what's wrong or what we think needs to be fixed or improved or could be better or whatever. Because our culture is so focused on what's wrong and what's the problem, especially right now. You know, the sky is falling and everything's terrible and healthcare, this, and wars across, you know, and these things, they're, quote, really happening.
Wait a minute. The sky is falling? This is news to me.
You know what I'm saying? But the reality of, you pick up the newspaper, right? But it's really a matter of, what world are we living in?
One more thing to worry about. Absolutely.
You know, what reality are we living in? And we get to create that without being, look, we can acknowledge what's going on, be empathetic and aware of it, not living in some Pollyanna phony world that there aren't issues and problems and challenges that people have. But at the same time, what are we choosing to empower?
You know, it's as if we're in sync here, Mike, because at the beginning of the show, I asked people to look at themselves and find the good, and in essence, forgiving themselves for what they think they have done or not done, and start from there.
Absolutely.
And you're asking them to do somewhat the same thing in other people.
Absolutely. And fundamentally, everything about other people that we're talking about, it's all a reflection back of us at some level, because I don't think that we really see other people as they are. We see them as we are. So really, all transformation, all growth happens within us. Now, it expresses itself in relationship with others. It expresses itself in relationship with the world. It expresses itself, you could say, in our relationship with God or the divine, however we define that or experience that. But ultimately, the transformation, the growth, the change, the love happens within ourselves. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, there is no joy in the world. Joy is within us. So there is no joy in the holiday season. The joy comes from us. There is no pain or suffering in the holiday season. The pain or suffering comes from us. The holiday season is one of those things that brings some of that stuff to the surface, which, what a beautiful thing.
Right.
Wow, we get to deal with it. So if some pain is showing up, if some sadness is showing up, if some anger is showing up or disappointment, wonderful opportunity to heal that. If some joy is showing up, if some excitement, if some gratitude, if some whatever, wow, cool. What a great opportunity to express that. You know, but we spend a lot of time in life then blaming the circumstance or the people. Like, why'd you make me mad? Oh, boy, the, you know, holidays are so stressful. Oh, man, boy, the economy's really, you know, whatever it is. Like, no, it's not. All that stuff is inside of me and you. It's not, has nothing to do with the economy or has nothing to do with the holiday season. Has nothing to do with, you know, whatever, some arbitrary thing. It has to do with us. And it's such a great way to relate to life. Like, wow. Even, look, let's just say, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, conflict. What a great opportunity to heal and release and let go of things when you deal with someone that you consider difficult and they really punch your buttons. Cool. You know, what if going to your mother-in-law's house on Christmas Eve or on New Year's Eve or whenever you might be over the next week, week and a half, really irritates and activates you. Fantastic. What if you took on like a spiritual practice? I'm going to really allow myself to show up there open-hearted, open-minded, see what it'll be like, and if I can actually expand my capacity to be at peace in that environment. Right?
Yeah, and actually, to take it a step further, you made reference to this, that some of the things that we don't like in our proverbial mother-in-laws, to use that example, are some of the things that are inside of us that we don't like, and that's probably why we see it and recognize it and react to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the way the shadow works, right? It's like,
well, exactly.
You know, whatever you can't be with won't let you be, and it'll show up everywhere around you. Until you, like, the more that we make peace with some of those aspects of ourselves, they won't show up as much. But it's like if we have a hard time dealing with our own arrogance, our own selfishness, our own whatever, fill in the blank, it's going to show up in all the people and circumstances around us until we actually are willing to take a look at it. And that's really, you know, you mentioned earlier, and I know you posted these up on your website, you know, some of the tips that I've been talking about, and we've been sort of addressing them to some degree or another as it relates to the holidays, but some of these tips and ideas for how to really have a low-stress, positive holiday season, you know, it really comes back to being yourself is really the first and foremost. Now, easier said than done, but, you know, instead of trying to be who you think you should be, just be you. You know, again, it's like, who does my mother-in-law want me to be? Who am I supposed to be with, you know, my spouse or with my friends or whatever? Again, holiday season, just the metaphor we're using in life.
And actually a microcosm of our life, because so much happens around that time. So much energy is processed, and you see so many more people than most normal people's lives. And, you know, this shadow side, or this mirror, as I like to use the word, has come up recently for me, and I have developed some amazing friendships, and I'm very grateful for them, and frankly, have they just developed, or have I started looking within myself and being able to be the best friend that I want to be, and recognize that some friends have been wanting to do the same with me, but maybe I've been the one that's been holding all that back.
Yeah.
But in going with the analogy of the mirror, I said recently to a friend, after we were trying to make a decision about something, and he went round and round and up and down about it, and I said, gosh, you are so difficult when it comes to making a decision, and you get so obnoxious about it. And I said it jokingly and lovingly, and he just as jokingly and lovingly said back to me, mirror.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, there's another great saying, right? If you spot it, you got it, kind of thing. But I think it's such a great, you know, and look, but what a great way to walk through life if we can remember the mirror phenomenon, if we can remember that people show up as reflections back to us, and that at some level, you know, we're putting out sort of a energetic frequency, a tractor beam, if you will, in our own vibration, however we understand this metaphysical concept, that we're really attracting things to us, right? So, of course, if what is in our consciousness in a predominant way has to do with, you know, difficulty or whatever it is, you know, fill in the blank. It's funny because, you know, I'll get all irritated about certain people in the family that are all uptight or really anal about stuff, and then my wife will laugh at me. It's like, I wonder why that bugs you, honey. You know, and it's like, shut up. What do you mean? I'm not like that, you know. But that's the thing, right, is that it's as we can start to really have a little more space and freedom with ourselves, not take ourselves so seriously, and again, realize as we see it around us, oh, it's a reflection back. I mean, this is why another one of the tips that I recommend for the holidays, and it's not just for the holidays, it's for all the time, it's focus on the good stuff, right? Choose to look for the good stuff. Because really, again, it's a reflection back. At some level, my ability to choose to focus on the good stuff about you, however easy or difficult that is a reflection of how I'm able to or unable to do that for myself. So that as we continue to make peace with ourselves, to really love and appreciate ourselves in a genuine way, the natural outflow of that is our ability to do that for other people. And so it really is, appreciation of others is one of the things in life that we really do get to keep what we give away. Mm. So as we look to appreciate and acknowledge other people, we get that in return. You know, another thing for us to think about, and it's a great opportunity to practice this, although sometimes challenging around the holidays, is to really do what we want to do. Again, not selfishly, not like we're some, you know, angry adolescent, I'm just going to do what I want to do and I don't care what anybody else thinks. But no, really, you know, what would be fun for us? What would be fun for our immediate family? I mean, this is a big one that comes up in families, you know, with, again, extended families and multi-generations. And we all have our own family dynamics and there's expectations. But what would it be like if we could really just speak our truth about what we want? Hey, listen, this is what's going to work for me. Instead of, you know, we often have a whole bunch of excuses about it, or we're kind of disingenuous about it, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Or we, you know, go and do things we don't want to do, and then we're sort of victims about it. Oh, I have to do this because, you know, it's what we always do for the holidays, and I hate it. Instead of really owning our power, like it's our life, we get to say what works and what doesn't work for us. We don't have to be, right, you know, self-righteous about it, or, you know, argumentative about it necessarily. But this is a really liberating thing. You know, I was actually doing a workshop at a church here in the Bay Area last weekend, and I spoke at the services, and then I was doing a workshop after in the afternoon. A woman came up to me after, and she says, I really want to go to your workshop. It's all on authenticity, right? But I got this family thing, and we always do this, and I got people coming, and blah, 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 and yada, yada. And I said, listen, I got no attachment. I'd love you to come to the workshop. Sounds like you really want to come. I said to her, I said, listen, it sounds like it might be a breakthrough for you to tell your family, I changed my mind. I'm going to go to this workshop. I'll be there later. I thought she was going to pass out when I even mentioned it. And I really wasn't saying it to try to, you know, force her to come to my workshop. That was not my agenda at all. But she came and was like almost in tears about the experience of what she said, and that she told a couple people, but not the other couple people that were really scary. And she spent the whole time of the workshop knowing she was going to have to go back and deal with her family being upset. Now, I'm not advocating that we do things to upset our families. But
well, actually, for all we know, Mike, the family might be relieved and say, oh, good, we didn't want to have to spend more time with you.
Exactly.
Or, we each wanted to do something on our own anyway. Or
right.
No, everybody was afraid to say it.
Well, and what happens is so often in families and with people, we have this unspoken agreement, I won't really say what I want if you don't say what you want, and no one will rock the boat. And then everyone suffers. So when we have the courage to speak up sometimes and talk about the elephant in the room, or say, I want to do this, or I don't like this, or how come we always have, this happened in my wife's family a year or two ago, why do we always have crab on Christmas Eve? We don't even like it. And it was like, what? But that's what we've always done. Yeah, but how about we have a conversation about it like adults and decide what we want to do? You know, something as simple and silly as that, those kind of things get stepped over all the time, and that's a metaphor for our life.
This is so beautiful because you're really helping people look at things differently and make our lives so much better with these simple principles that you're giving in your books and now these tips that you've given that are indeed on our website at www.lifechanges.ws. And, Mike, we are coming to a close to our interview that has gone by so quickly because
yeah.
I've appreciated you and I feel you've appreciated me. Is
Absolutely.
There any closing remark you'd like to make as we say goodbye here?
I think the final thing I just want to really challenge all of us to do is to really love ourselves. And that's actually the greatest gift that we can give to everybody around us when we do it in a genuine way. Because when we do that, when we love and appreciate and celebrate ourselves, we become so much more available for the people in our lives in an authentic way.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you being authentic with us today on Life Changes, and we hope to have you again someday and maybe even in person at one of our live events. You've been wonderful. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a pleasure. We've been talking to Mike Robbins, author of Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken. If you go to the website, lifechanges.ws, you can learn more about Mike and his book and learn how you can get yourself a copy, as well as see some tips on how to have a much more stressless and happy holiday season. And now we've got our very own Dorothy Lee with the State of the Universe Address.
Thank you, Mike, for helping us remember that being ourselves is the best choice we can make. What a wonderful world it will be when we allow our family, our friends, and loved ones to be exactly who they are, and when we choose to love ourselves and to love them without conditions. This is the perfect time of the year to try this and see what happens. Let's put the happy back into happy holidays. Because this is the season to be jolly, another great choice is to let the magic begin by choosing to be happy right here and right now, no matter what your life looks like in the moment. I'm not saying ignore the negative, but make a choice to be happy, because in every negative there's a great gift. And happiness is a choice, in spite of the fact that we've been programmed to believe otherwise. I loved what Groucho Marx said. He was not just a funny man, he was also extremely wise, as he had this to say about happiness. Each morning, when I open my eyes, I say to myself, I, not events, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. I have just one day, today, and I'm going to be happy in it. Wouldn't life be grand if we all decided to live like Groucho? Margaret Young said of happiness, often people attempt to live their lives backwards. They try to have more things or more money in order to do more of what they want, so they will be happier. The way it actually works is the reverse. You must first be who you really are, then do what you need to do in order to have what you want. Being happy doesn't mean you're perfect, and everything in your life is absolutely perfect. It just means you've decided to look beyond the imperfections and that you have chosen to love what is. We convince ourselves that life will be better after we get married, have a baby, then another one. Then we're frustrated that the kids aren't old enough, and we'll be more content when they are. After that, we're frustrated that we have teenagers to deal with. We'll certainly be happy when they're out of that stage. We tell ourselves that our life will be complete when our spouse gets his or her act together, when we get a nicer car, are able to go on a nice vacation when we retire. The truth is, there's no better time to be happy than right now. Because if not now, then when? According to Werner Erhard, happiness is a function of accepting what is. Your life will always be filled with challenges. It's best to admit this to yourself and decide to be happy anyway. One of my favorite quotes comes from Alfred D. Sousa. He said, "For a long time it had seemed to me that life was about to begin, real life, but there was always some obstacle in the way, something to be gotten through first, some unfinished business, time still to be served, or a debt to be paid. Then life would begin. At last it dawned on me that these obstacles were my life." Sousa's perspective has helped me to see that there is no perfect road to happiness. Happiness is the journey. So treasure every moment that you have, and treasure it more because you shared it with someone special, special enough to spend your time with. And remember that time waits for no one. So stop waiting until you finish school, until you go back to school, until you lose 10 pounds, until you gain 10 pounds, until you have kids, until your kids leave the house, until you start work, until you retire, until you get married, until you get divorced, until Friday night, until Sunday morning, until you get a new car or home, until your car or home is paid off, until spring, until summer, until fall, until winter, until you're off disability, until the 1st or 15th, until your son comes on, until you've had a drink, until you've sobered up, until you die, until you're born again, to decide that there's no better time than right now to be happy. Remember that happiness is the journey and not the destination. And maybe C.P. Snow said it best. The pursuit of happiness is the most ridiculous phrase. If you pursue happiness, you'll never find it. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. Never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love You are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy. And that's our show for today. Thank you all for joining us and being the change that we all wish to see in the world. I want to thank Dorothy and Mark Lejeune as our engineers, and I mean our producers, and Seth as our engineer. Thank you all for joining us. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.